Only smart people get up early enough to listen to the Francine Marie Show. So thanks for listening, smarty pants.
Good morning, campers! Pick up your coffee cup, make a cup of tea, pour yourself a beer. Hair of the dog, it's the Francine Marie Show!
Good morning, thanks for joining us. We have got the guest of all guests. I say that all the time about my guests, but I have a guest for you. You're going to fall in love with him just like I did. I found him on Clubhouse. That's almost like a thing these days. I met a friend on Clubhouse. So his name is Darrell Stroud. Now, Darrell is pretty awesome because he has a criminal justice and political science degree. He's all about the mental health and social justice advocate and doing all his things in New Jersey, right, New Jersey? Good morning, yes. New Jersey.
Yes, yes. Welcome. Thank you.
But everything that you do in New Jersey needs to be duplicated in every city. Everything that you stand for needs to be said in every little platform. Now, you ran for lieutenant governor in 2019 in New Jersey, but now you currently serve as the zoning board of adjustments in New Jersey.
Yes.
So were you born in New Jersey?
I was born and raised in New Jersey. I was actually born in Manchester, which is like Ocean County, Toms River area. And I currently reside in Monmouth County.
Most of your rooms on Clubhouse revolve around everybody's mental health state right now. Like, how you feeling? You're always kind to people. You know, some people come on stage. If you're not familiar with Clubhouse, it's a place where you can go have conversations. You can hold these rooms and your rooms are always on point.
Bro, thank you.
So if you're on Clubhouse, you can follow Darrell Stroud at doing the most, but you got to put doing, D-O-I-N, _the_most. So did your room start off with mental health because you care about people so much?
So believe it or not, we started a 1 hour conversation about mental health, and at the end of the conversation it was so much said, but it included, you know, people saying things like, I really needed this, like, this changed my day. What touched me and kind of bothered me at the same time was someone reached out and said that they were contemplating, and that when they found the room, that, you know, it was the room that helped them, you know, not, you know, to make the decision to not. You know, it was a little bit of pressure, but I said, this is something that needs to be continued, because obviously people need it. And, you know, people are hurting. We're in the middle of a pandemic. We got a few different pandemics, if you ask me, but it's just so much going on, and, you know, people need support.
Right.
And yeah.
Kind of strange how everybody's in this mental struggle, sort of physically or mentally. And then nobody really cares. Because remember how they said, well, if you're feeling bad, just reach out to someone. But most people don't care.
Right, right. It's just rhetoric.
Yes. So how do we need to be more compassionate. But there's a lot of things in this life, like you said, a lot of pandemics going on to make us really lose it and snap. And we don't want to snap. Right. They already got a show for that with characters already lined up. We don't want to be the person who snaps, but how do we keep our sanity?
Right. It's hard at times, right? And so we had this conversation yesterday, you know, and I think that if you believe in faith, right, then, you know, I think that that keeps us going. But sometimes we also have questions, right, about faith and, you know, how that works, how religion works and all those types of things. So I think for everybody's going to handle things differently. You know, I think for me, I've gotten to a place where I've accepted the fact that things are just going to, you know, things are going to happen that we don't agree with. And now you just have to take a step back, analyze the situation and figure out what the next steps are to try and correct it. So
right. That's
kind of where we are as a country, right? We have to figure out how we correct the problem. We know what the problems are. We've known what the problems were for a very long time now. And so we got a lot of work to do. We, as Black people, you know, it's been over 400 years of a struggle for us. It continues here in 2021. My mom yesterday shared a story about dealing with racism at 7 years old. She'll be 57 on Thursday. And so 50 years later, she's still dealing with racism, and it's gotten worse. But has it really gotten worse? I don't think it's actually gotten worse. I think that hindsight is 2020. I actually thank him for it. I think that Trump came along and just exposed the racist, and said, okay, let's show you who they are. And they came out of the woodworks. So
already there, ready.
Right, yeah. So it's something that's just there, just needs the curtain to be pulled back. And, you know, when the curtain's pulled back, you see those characters that you never thought that you'd see, right? But we've seen it this past year. But it was already there. It was already living, right? It's kind of like, I mean, I just had some flowers grow in front of my house, and I'm like, where did those come from, right? It was already, the seeds were already planted. And so we just needed water and the sun for, you know, for the plants to come out and bloom. And right. So this is what happened in the country.
Right. I think the pain, the stab in the back or the heart is when you tell someone who's not African-American, who might be in your friend circle or network circle or colleague circle, you're like, hey, these issues are going on. And they're like, what?
Oh, that's happening?
What issues?
Right.
Right? You have a job, you drive a car, you live in a house, you have everything that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, wow, there's no penetration mentally that you can do right then to fix the problem
or the issue.
But I think everybody has that head turning moment where you're like the exorcist, where your head just goes around in a circle. I was doing an FBI presentation during Black History Month. And I'm like, mm-hmm. This is going to be so exciting. And this is going to be so great. And right. I was, you know, sharing it. I'm going to do this with someone. And they're like, well, why don't we have White History Month?
And this is the problem. That's all we learn about is white history, right? It's like, why is it a problem to, or why do you need to always match or meet us there, right? Everything. And it's kind of like, it's nauseating that we even think that way as a country.
But how can we live in a country where there is a pandemic of industrialized prison systems and nobody knew about it?
I mean, they know about it. The system's working the way that it was intended to work. Mass incarceration is supposed to happen. We know from the school to prison pipeline that by the time our kids are reaching third grade, they're already building a prison cell for them. They're already looking at, you know, different land to build new prisons. In Newark, New Jersey, as we speak, they're building a rehabilitation center, but we know it to be a jail, a juvenile detention jail for our kids, right down the street from a high school. And so what kind of a message are we sending our kids when we have no community center? We don't have an active Boys and Girls Club, no kind of programming, but we have a jail that they have to walk past every day on their way home from school. So industrialized prison system. It's never going to go anywhere until we stand up and say we're not going to have it anymore.
Yeah.
We know that we're disenfranchising the system, Black and brown people. And no matter what way you spin it, put it, add it, subtract it, we make up 14% of this country, and we are more in prison than anyone else. And so when we live in a place currently when, you know, where Black people are losing their lives every single day at the hands of the police, but we live in a society where, and don't get me wrong, because I'm not comparing, but we live in a society currently where Asian hate bill gets passed in a matter of days, where we're still waiting, you know, for debate or introduction of the George Floyd police accountability bill, and that I have a problem with, you know. And it's, again, I'm not comparing, but you know, our Asian brothers and sisters haven't dealt with oppression for 400 plus years, right? They're not being killed by the police every single day, right? Derek Chauvin's guilty conviction came on Tuesday. And by Wednesday morning at 8:30, there was another Black man killed by the police, unarmed, driving away from the police. And so when does it stop, right? When are they going to stop building prisons to put our kids there? When we stand up and say enough is enough. That's when it stops. When we stop putting our money into this economy, when we stop, you know, allowing these people to just tell us how to live our lives and stand up and say, look, we're not going to do it. We're not going to have it, right? We can take our money and spend it elsewhere, right? We keep running to the same corporations. We keep, you know, spending American dollars. But what is it? What benefit do we get out of it? We don't.
Right. And we're taxpayers who pay for the salaries of people that kill us.
Absolutely.
It's not funny, but that's the truth.
It's crazy. And so we need a whole lot of accountability. And so to be honest with you, I don't think it's just legislation that's going to fix it. We have, you know, a lot more to do. We have to change the mindset of these people. I was in a conversation yesterday, and, you know, young man was telling me how one of his friends got moved up on the civil service list. And he's like, dude, this guy is like totally racist. I went to high school with him and everything. And so it's like, we still have, you know, there's always going to be, you know, people that have these thoughts, right? Because of the era that we live in, right? Because of all of the rhetoric and stuff that's surrounding it. And the ignorance, it's just one of, you can't change ignorance, right? Can't fix stupid. You know, what you can do is stand up and say, look, you know, enough is enough. I'm not going to take it. And so someone asked me a question yesterday, why do we continue to protest when you don't see anything changing? And so I had to give him a pretty hefty list of things that changed just, you know, over the past couple of months, because we said, we're not going to have it. Enough is enough, right? And granted, it's election time here in Jersey, but hey, if that's what we got to do it around election time, then it is what it is. And so now, you know, they've legalized marijuana in New Jersey, which means people are going to get out of jail, right? That's a good point too, because I haven't actively seen it yet. But you know what I mean? Like, people should be released from jail for the same plant that the government is selling, making money off of, right? Now ironically, our attorney general had to do it because the politicians still continue to try to add corruption to the bill. But our attorney general just did away with mandatory minimums in the state of New Jersey. So there's no more mandatory minimums. However, one of our Democrats, by the way, one of our Democratic politicians who serves as the mayor of, I believe, North Bergen, he's also the state senator for that same area. So if that's not corruption within itself, I don't have to stop there. I can keep going. He actually tried to add a provision into the law that would cover law enforcement and politicians. And so the governor, as well as the attorney general, is against that because official misconduct is official misconduct. And that should be a mandatory minimum. And so, yeah, that's what happened. They play games in politics, and it's not always Republicans. This was a Democrat who's double dipping in our pension system to begin with, and then trying to add this provision to the bill to help his daughter-in-law or his daughter who broke the law and was stealing from the government. But, you know, these are the types of things that they do. So thank God we have an attorney general that's progressive and that, you know, has values and ethics, because where the governor wasn't able to get the bill passed, because obviously we needed to come from the Senate, the governor vetoed it, and then the attorney general put the provision in place. And I'm excited that that happened, but it still shows that, you know, how politics is played. So there's loopholes for everything. So if there's a loophole for that, there's a loophole to come up with legislation to help us, to help Black people, right? There's a loophole to come up with legislation to give us equal opportunity, equity, give us access to higher education, and et cetera. So when we talk about reparations, I don't want a check. I don't want money. I want land. I want education. I want everything that's been stolen from us and everything that everybody else is getting.
Okay, let's talk about reparations, because that bill went, nothing really happened. So here, okay, I divert for a second. There was one comedian who said, I think it might've been Leslie Jones. She says, there was some questionable dudes who wrote the Constitution.
Very.
Had no representation of other people, of other colors, right? Not even their wives, right? Nope. Women to be involved with that. We can't change that with, you know, air quotes, but we can get updates on our Apple phone like that.
Hello?
We can get stimulus checks
in
like
a heartbeat.
That.
Passed one day and in the account the next day. And so that's the point that I make. Like, this system is made and designed the way it was supposed to be made. They know exactly what's going on. They know exactly the things that we need. They know that people are hurting in this country, right? They even know that that some of our kids don't have the proper technology to be homeschooled at this point, but there's still been nothing done. But Congress has some of the best medical benefits in the country, right? They get some of the best salaries. Some of their kids don't even go to public school. They put them in private institutions, right? So they don't have to worry about these problems. And so when they get on these TVs and they write these press releases, like, we really got to know who these people are. You got to really look at them and look at their records. What have you done for me lately? Not 5 years ago, not 10 years ago. I don't care, you know, about the equal pay bill that you sponsored back in 2017. It's 2021. We have real issues. They're talking about gun control now. Oh my God, gun control. Yeah, gun control is taken away from the police. That's what gun control is at this point. Take them away from the cops, because they can't tell the difference between a taser and a gun.
True story.
They can't just shoot once. They got to shoot 5 and 6 and 7 and 10 times. And so, you know, when people say, oh, we just need retraining. No.
Oh,
no,
my
no.
God.
No. The cashier at Walmart that underscans something or gives an attitude needs retraining, right? The postal worker that dropped the letter off at the wrong address might need some retraining. Police don't need retraining. They got all of the training that they need. They got all of the training they're supposed to have. The same slave catcher training that they had in back in the day is alive and well now. And so it's no longer a system of slave catchers, right? Quote unquote. But it's the system of the police, which in my opinion is a lot worse.
Yeah, if you're just now tuning in, we got a new best friend. I'm going to keep him to myself, though. It's Darrell Stroud. Now, you can follow Darrell on Facebook at Darrell M. Stroud. Stroud is spelled S-T-R-O-U-T. Twitter, he's on there too, Darrell Stroud. IG, doing the most. Now, D-O-I-N underscore T-H-A underscore most. He's that there on IG as well as Clubhouse. He is a criminal justice and political science degree, you are. And you've been in politics, man.
Yes, for 17 years. How I did it, I don't know. And not a gray hair.
That boy got no gray hairs. Wow, how do you do it? What campaign did you work on?
Where do you want me to start?
Did you do Obama's campaign?
I did. I worked on Obama's 2012 campaign. I ran the Burlington County operations here in Jersey. So we did a coordinated campaign for President Obama and Senator Menendez, Bob Menendez. Pretty tough campaign, right? Because we know or may not know that Bob Menendez had like corruption charges against him when he ran for re-election. So it was pretty tough for us. But, you know, ultimately he prevailed. And, you know, the case was he was hung jury. But things happen. Yeah, that's awesome.
Wow. Any other politicians? I would ask you who's your favorite, but I'm not going to do that to you today.
My favorite politician. I'm going to go with Congresswoman Bonnie Watson Coleman. I actually worked in her campaign. I was her field director in 2014. She was an assemblywoman in New Jersey. And I forget exactly which, I think the 17th district, which is covers Trenton and Ewing down in Hamilton area. Now she's in Congress and she's just a force to be reckoned with. You know, she is someone who stands in what she believes in. She can't be moved. And so like she is definitely a leader. Now she is I believe a freshman congresswoman, but it is what it is. I strongly believe that every time she, you know, goes up to Capitol Hill that she's doing the right thing on behalf of the people. But, you know, there's not many of them out there. I mean, there's, you know, some other politicians that I like, but, you know, there's, you know, a bunch that I don't like. I'll say this, even with the politicians that I like, you could be my favorite politician ever, but I'm a person who strongly believes that character is what you do when no one's watching. And so I like to see what you're doing in the background, right? I don't just so much care about the sound bites or the quotes on TV or Twitter. It's about the real substance that you're, you know, providing for us and, you know, on a day-to-day basis.
Right. Are you beating your wife at home or are you?
Right.
Right. Who did you kill in college? Right.
And a lot of them, it's funny, a lot of them are doing some of the things that, you know, people are going to jail for. It's crazy.
I don't get it. I don't know. I wouldn't have come to this planet had I known, but I'm already here. So we might as well live this life as best we can.
I don't know. I'm trying to go to Pluto or something.
I know. So if I had 7 more minutes with you, where do you want to take this conversation? Because it's all about you and sharing all the light.
Wherever you want. So let's talk about this. I'll talk about a few things, right? So we have some bullet points here. One of the things is how parents can protect their kids from police encounters. And so the reason why I'm going with that is because it's a quick and short answer. They can't. You can warn your kids everything you want. You can tell your kids, you know, keep your hands on the wheel, be respectful, you know, yes and no, ma'am, yes and no, sir, whatever. Give all your kids all of those warnings. But at the end of the day, your child can be home in the bed, sleep, Breonna Taylor, and shot and killed by the police. Your child can do all of the right things, Philandro Castile, and, you know, tell the police, I have a weapon, I'm not reaching for it, right? And still lose their lives in front of their kids and their significant others. You know, we've seen Eric Garner get choked out and now George Floyd with the knee on his neck for 9 minutes and 29 seconds in front of our kids. And so there's no real way that we can tell our kids to avoid police encounters or how to navigate them. I don't know what to say to our kids at this point, right? Because you can do all of the right things and still be killed. The young man, Junior, was at work in Los Angeles, California. He was a security officer. He was authorized to carry a gun and all of this. And he's simply just, you know, walking around his job, securing the perimeter. And you know, he gets shot and killed by the police. And so you're not safe at work. You're not safe on a traffic stop. You're not safe in your own house at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning sleep. And it's just, you know, it's too much. And it's like, when does enough become enough? When do we stop accepting, you know, mediocrity from the people that are supposed to protect and serve us? When are we going to stop accepting excuses from 26-year-old veterans that I didn't know that I had my gun in my hand? Like, come on. Come on. And it's manslaughter? Stop. Like, we got to stop. Like, we got to stop turning the eye to Black issues. We got to stop turning the blind eye to Black people when we go through these things, you know, because it's just not okay. But then at the end of the day, you want Black people to jump up and come out and vote. And then, oh, Black people are the highest numbers. Yeah, good for us, but we get the lowest amount of progress. And it's like, so, like, when do we give up and say enough is enough, right? Right. And so that's my call to everybody, right? And so white people come to me all the time. What can we do to help? Hey, have my back. That's what you can do to help. Listen to me. Listen to what is going on. Listen to what we're trying to tell you. Stop being oblivious to what's happening around you. You know what I mean? That's what you can do to be helpful. Don't stop being performative. If you ain't down with it, don't be down with it, right? I'd rather you tell me who you are than to pretend. Just tell me who you are, right? We can still be friends.
I know. But those friends who tell you, who don't look like you, and they're like, well, you'll get your day in court. You'll get your day. I'm like, what?
And I'm tired of that too. We'll get our day in court, but what's going to happen at the end? What's going to be the end result? Is it going to be another Tamir Rice situation where the young 12-year-old was just simply having a good time at the playground by himself and shot and killed by the police because they thought that a 12-year-old had a real gun and took no time to even assess the situation? So, no.
Okay, so can we end on a bang? No pun intended. Here's the deal. with the insane deception and devastations that is happening in the African American community has been forever, but now it's like we're sick of it. Have you ever thought that police officers get paid from a certain pot of money when they do executions on Black folks? Because what else would be your incentive? Are you that callous and insensitive, or is it there's an incentive somewhere, buddy? Come on.
I think it might be a little bit of both.
Because the more the more insane the assassination is, I think they get the biggest pot of money. So
look at Derek Chauvin. Look at that GoFundMe that he had, right? Look at Potter, right? This woman didn't even spend, 10 minutes in the jailhouse, right? Bailed out right away because they come up with these GoFundMes and all these things. That's not everyday people. That's the blue line, right? That's these unions coming in and supporting. And these unions are detrimental, terrible. These police unions have to go. They got to be broken up. They got to be revamped or maybe not even used, not even needed. Like how do you go out and support and protect a man who just murdered somebody? Like, it's murder. There's no other way to look at it. He didn't comply. Oh, what? And so, like, I'm sick of hearing that too. Like, okay, not everybody complies. A lot of people haven't complied. And, you know, most of them still live. If we look at the numbers, men lie, women lie, numbers don't, right? And so if we just look at the interactions that white people have had with the police and put it side by side of those interactions that we've had with the police, we already know what the outcome is going to be. So we need to stop acting ignorant in America. We need to stop acting oblivious, and we need to stop being performative and acting like we care. If you really care, you're going to get out and you're going to speak up on these issues, right? You're going to, you know, make sure that you're supportive and that you're, you know, realizing that this is a real thing. Like, people are really being murdered, and you know, we're focused on the wrong things.
So here's a couple of things I thought of that could maybe stop this murder. Pensions taken away. Another Hallelujah. Thing. Can I get a drum roll, please? You know, you lose your job, you lose that pension, and you have to pay for the funeral of the person you killed.
Mm. Well, let me tell you the loophole, though. Here's the loophole. So here's what they do. Oh, you did something wrong. You know, if you get fired, we're going to take your pension and all of this other stuff. Why don't you just go ahead and resign, and then we'll work it out to where, you see where I'm going with this? These people don't lose everything. And that's, so I love that you said that. That's part of the problem. Like, they still get these pensions. They walk away. And so even if you get a little bit of jail time, like the officer, oh my God, I forget exactly where, but there's an officer got about two years. I'm trying to think. It's been so many cases, right? two or three years, right? And so when you come out, like,
he still got his pension?
I'm pretty sure. I can't, wow. I mean, I don't have the facts. I can't prove it 100%, but he resigned. He wasn't terminated. He was just criminally charged. He was never terminated, though. So, I mean, if I get criminally charged today, I mean, that has nothing to do with my job. I'm not, you know what I mean? So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm very interested to know, and I'm all over it. So trust me, there will be follow-up. I'll definitely let you know when, but I'm all over it as much as I can. Operin information and everything, because I need to make sure that these people are not keeping their pensions, right? Because the people that they're killing never have an opportunity to make yet another dollar. Whereas, you know, some of these people are walking with, you know, hundreds of thousands of it. And, you know, no, murderers should not get paid to murder people.
So as we end the segment, let's talk about how amazing African-Americans are. Black people are amazing. Black girl magic. Come on.
Absolutely.
Strong mentally.
Absolutely. And we're more than football players and singers and dancers and basketball players and janitors and, you know, coaches and fitness trainers, right? We're doctors, we're lawyers, teachers, we're dentists, gynecologists. We're out there, right? We're doing the same things. And so I don't understand why we, you know, can't seem to coexist, you know, in a world that's for all of us. And so I'm not looking for allies. I'm looking for co-conspirators.
Ooh.
And so that is the term that I like to use, co-conspirators. Will you co-conspire with me to make sure that I get justice, the same justice that you wake up to every single morning and you don't have to worry when you're pulled over by the police? I don't have any white friend in the world that has any worry when they get pulled over by the police. Every single time I even see them behind me, lights or not, it's anxiety.
Yeah, it's PTSD.
Yep.
And then a lot of it is in our genes, our DNA from trauma from, but we don't have trauma, do we, Darrell?
Government-induced trauma.
Ah, there you go.
There's along with everything else, right?
Exactly, right? And believing in our government. How can we do that? So I don't blame people when they don't go to the polls. I'm one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't blame you because of the life that you've had, the struggle that you've had to have, because they kick the can down the street every time, every 4 years, right? So they'll,
right.
They'll pick up a tablet. Oh, I'm all for education.
That okay. Little five bullet points, right.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord.
But see, the thing is, and I say it all the time, like, we can't just fold our hands and walk away, right? We have to, I mean, this is a time where, you know, maybe ordinary people start running for office. And we need to support those ordinary people, right? We need to support the moms and the servers like AOC, right? We see that they hate AOC. Both parties, they don't like her. Why? Because she got involved and engaged into the system and she's being disruptive to a system that's not supposed to work for regular people. Now they got this regular person that came in there, had no health insurance, was, you know, dependent on other people, right, to get paid based on her service, you know, doing all of these things, struggling, living in New York, and now she's a congresswoman. Now she has all of the things that they have and coming for all of the stuff that they got, and they don't like that. They don't want regular people in the system, so that's why we got to keep doing it. Cori Bush, a regular mom, right, just all of these people that are running and winning, and we got to continue to support them. Sometimes we're not going to believe in every single thing that they may advocate for, but I don't believe in getting killed by the police. And so there has to be something to be able to change for us. The issues aren't abortion, you know, all of these stuff anymore. Like we're in a real time, you know, in this country.
Yeah. Wow. It's so enlightening to talk to you. Thank you for giving the advice you have. You're always on our side. Yay for Darrell.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
All right. Your 1 hour public talk radio is up. I don't know where the time goes, but we had fun. One day we're going to meet in person. I'm your
Absolutely.
Hostess of the Mostest, Francine Marie. I want you to join us next week. Same time, same station. Okay.
All right.
Bye bye to everybody. Say bye, Darrell.
Bye, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Stay blessed, stay encouraged, and let's go get them.
Let's go get them.
Thank you for joining us for the Francine Marie Show, where we address issues concerning you and your family. That's all for now. See you next week.
Please, please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing, the Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.